the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of the Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. We're here at Etail Palm Springs in Palm Springs, California, and talking about all things retail, e-commerce, AI, and more. My guests today can talk about all of this, and we're going to talk specifically about the importance of getting better insights to understand customer behavior, perform media mix modeling, and more, with third-party data becoming less and less attractive to advertisers and marketers as cookie deprecation and third-party data reliance need to be replaced by reliable first-party data solutions. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Matt Butler, co-founder and CEO of Bonsai, and Russ Hannig, VP Growth Marketing at Gab. Matt and Russ, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Nice to be here.
Yeah. It's nice to be outside here in Palm Springs, so it's a little away from busyness of the show here. But why don't we start by you both giving me a little background on yourselves as well as what you're currently doing and a little bit about each of your companies.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first. So I'm Chicago born and raised. We're based out of Chicagoland, but we've been doing this now for a little over 3 years. Before Bonsai, before this whole journey into measurement and all the fun stuff that comes with that, I spent a lot of time at Google. Yeah. I was in retail analytics for a long time. Really, you know, just was really fortunate with my timing and getting into the space as it was like obviously taking off and then growing in complexity and like kind of seeing where that, you know, solving that takes you up the chain and solving really interesting questions, ads and otherwise in retail. Did that for about 12 years, did some tech consulting within their broader tech teams, and then decided that we really wanted to tackle this question and really do it like across everything, not just what you can do at Google. So co-founded Bonsai, have 2 little kids, just really, really fortunate, yeah.
Great. And yeah, Greg, it's so nice to be here. And it is beautiful, so it is nice to be outside. Yeah. So Russ Hannig, I'm at Gab. I'm a father of 4. So a 15, 12, 10, and 7-year-old. And at Gab, we create safe tech for kids. We believe that too much tech too soon is crushing our kids. And especially what social media is doing their self-esteem and suicide rates. And we feel that teaching kids tech in steps is really, really important. So at Gab, we took on the challenge of solving those problems ourselves and building stuff that kids want music. So there is no reliable, safe music. So we went and did deals with the major music labels ourselves and created our own music platform. We then, we have wearables, we have a watch, we have a phone. Kids want maps, so we went and built our own Gab maps. They want a messaging system. They want to be able to talk to their kids or friends, and their parents want to be able to make sure their kids are not getting into trouble. And so we've built all of these things to keep kids safe, but allow kids to still be kids and grow up and learn tech in steps so that they aren't just given an adult smartphone way too early and having them crush them right from the beginning. So yeah, That's what we do at Gab.
That's great. Well, let's get started here. So Gab faced challenges with limited business insight and was relying on inadequate data sources for key metrics. So despite the data that they did have, They didn't know how many customers upgraded to a new phone or how many new lines came from retail partners, for example. Collaborating with Banzai, Gab solved its over-reliance on third-party tracking and created a custom media mix modeling to get clear insights into results from TV results, Facebook views, and more, with some pretty amazing results, which we're going to get to in a minute. But I want to talk first a little bit about this journey. And to do that, let's start with this. How did not having access to the right data limit your ability to reach the right customers?
Oh, man. So when I first joined Gab, we relied a lot on agencies, and there were a lot of agencies that were saying, hey, we should spend more money here, and other agencies saying, oh, you should spend more money over here. And because we were relying a lot on platform data, because that's what we had, there was a lot of over attribution, and we didn't know where to go and how to be able to scale the business, because we knew that there were, our biggest problem is parents not knowing that there is a safe solution. They go into the Verizon store, they add another phone to their line because to their account because their kid really needs a phone, or they're sick and tired of hearing their kid ask for one. And so we knew there was opportunity to scale, but we just didn't know all the places to scale in the right way.
So what were some of the first steps that you took to get the right pieces in place, and what did that look like from an internal perspective at Gab first?
Yeah, so I actually worked with Matt at a previous company I was in. He at Banzai had helped us get in a really good place, a better place with our data. And so I immediately called Matt, and I was like, Matt, I need you, bro. Here's my situation. Help me figure some of this out. At the same time, I went to our vice president of finance, and I was like, hey, listen, we've got to be on the same page. I want you to meet Matt. I want you to, let's talk through what Banzai does, because if we're aligned on the media spend side and on the finance side, we'll be able to help Gab get in a much better place with data if we're on board first. So once our vice president of finance met Matt and the team, he looked at me afterwards and he said, let's go, let's do this. And so I think that was kind of the first step, getting some alignment internally, because if he wouldn't have been on board, we probably wouldn't have done it, but he was. And so it helped, I think, a lot.
Totally. I just wanted to add in before we talk about like some of the examples, from my perspective, you know, when Rust reached out, the Gab product, like if you don't know the Gab product, it's an amazing product. It's an amazing company. Russ is doing a great job, you know, as their ambassador to lead that growth story. But personally, like, I'm a father. I have a 6-year-old. I have a 2-year-old. And then when Russ reached out and talked about, you know, hey, they're growing, they're succeeding, but they had started to see some, like, plateauing in their growth, and they had these challenges around measurement and what to do next. Just instinctually, my thought process was like, you know, this, you know, my kids are still a few years away from like getting a watch or, you know, their first Gab phone. You know, my daughter's only in kindergarten, but I don't know any other young parents at all who aren't like, we're thinking about this now. Like, and it is an obsession. Like, how do we solve this problem? And knowing that Gab was there, in my mind, I knew that like, there's no plateauing here. Like, this could, there's gotta be, we know there's a way to make this work. And we know that, like, obviously some of the work we're doing in putting the right information in front of the teams from a marketing and an otherwise perspective was crucial to that. And it's so fulfilling to see that that's how it's playing out, because that was the thing that kind of got me excited for this partnership.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, just personally, I don't have kids, but the minute that like your PR team reached out to me about this interview, I like told my sister about it. Her, you know, my niece is like of that age where she's asking for a phone, like she's borrowing, you know, mom and dad's phone, and like she's asking about it. So I was just like immediate, like, you gotta look at this company. And she was like, I had no idea, you know. So it's like, there's, to your point, like there is such a need for this, and it makes so much sense. So anyway, not to turn into a commercial for Gab.
I don't want to necessarily turn into a commercial for Gab, but I think that was our problem.
Yeah.
And that still even is where we're headed, is just letting parents know and using the platform data to try to make decisions really wasn't helping us. And we really are a company that's focused on, you know, helping kids be kids. I have a 15-year-old and she has a Gab phone. It was probably a few months ago. She got a text from a friend that said, hey, I hate my parents. And that got flagged to me. I think we don't tell on the kids. We don't say, here's every text my daughter ever sends, because we need to let her have some independence. But that text got sent to me, and my first thought was like, oh man. So I went to my daughter and I said, hey, what's going on? And she said, this friend just keeps coming to me and saying, I hate my parents. And she wants me to like help her fix it, and I don't want to do. Long story short, I was able to have a really amazing conversation with her that frankly I wouldn't have had she had just an adult phone. And so, and a lot of parents just don't know that that's out there. So working with Bonsai was really, really helpful to sort of bring this story together and then look for ways that we could scale the business.
Yeah, yeah. So to that end, what did the Bonsai team do to, you know, help to solve this problem?
So I think about this in two or three big steps. So we talked a little bit about that initial phase of moving from what's really going on with my brand and my customers through the lens of like media platform data. So the first step was to help Gab really bring together their, you know, they sell phones, they sell watches, they sell accessories and kits, and there's families and there's customers, and like it's a lot of customer and business data to juggle. And so like getting that all in a place where it was available to be able to be analyzed was not a trivial thing. So a lot of our kind of business analytics aspect of the first party data strategy was upfront and core, but we went into that straight away with the intention of saying, this is going to inform marketing. We're going to bring customer behavior data in from analytics. This is going to also like ladder up to you know, the phone, especially for your kid, it's a very considered purchase, right? So we talk at marketing conferences about multi-touch attribution. It, of course, is central to like one of the first things we rolled out for Gab in a first party environment. There's a lot more to say beyond that, but like these were critical things, right? So just having a sense of like, you know, this Google strategy was impactful. This Facebook strategy was impactful. These types of clicks don't do as much as you think, because there's a lot of other clicks in the journey. These other things are doing more, right? And so we could get into, you know, those are kind of the big two, like everyone's got to succeed on those two platforms, but in their world, they've got to succeed on affiliates. They've got to succeed in email. They've got to succeed. And so like to have a central place, right? And Russ did a great job of bringing kind of the culture at Gab into like wanting to do it this way. But yeah, like that was our first, you know, I know we did that launch of that data set was about a year ago, right? Like roughly.
Yeah, and within a couple months, we had our data sources, which aren't easy. We have our own platform, our own e-commerce platform. Yeah. We're not plug and play. Yeah. So within you know, a month and a half, 2 months, we had our data in within one central location, and that's kind of where it all started. That we were able to build a lot of what we've been able to optimize in search and optimize in social, and then even start to measure in more of the impression-based media and TV. And you know, it's I mean, even talking like predicting click
value. We're not even getting into that part yet.
So
bottom line is you guys were able to really like pretty immediately see ROI improvements in search and social and affiliate and other things at once, and that like kind of got the ramp up, and then taking it from there of where we've gone now.
And it wasn't just like you got a few more clicks or what, like, you know, the numbers here, you know, a 200% return on ad spend, you know, that's most brands would love to get half of that.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, so Bonsai has something called the predicted click value model. How did you work to achieve that, you know, 200% ROAS?
So I'll explain a little bit of, I guess, the science behind it. Yeah. Russ has the best analogy ever about this, and I'll let you give it. So algorithmic buying is not a new thing. Many of, you know, the retailers, brands today are spending, you know, your dollars are being allocated by an algorithm. Google Smart Bidding has been around. It does a good job. The kind of thing that a lot of times gets lost in the conversation of like, is this the right tool or whatever, is it's not that the algorithm at Google isn't effective or isn't intended, like can't drive results. You know, like I mentioned, I mean, not to be a fanboy about it, right? But I used to work at Google.
Yeah.
There's a lot of smart people at Google. That algorithm is great. The thing that it doesn't always have, though, and that the thing that our data was able to power is Google's got a great bidder, but it can't always know what something's really worth, right? To Gab, only they have the data to know, hey, this customer is going to be very valuable. This phone is an incremental order. This other one is really, you know, it's not really that valuable. They've already subscribed, right? That conversion you're seeing isn't that, you know, it's not really adding that much to the bottom line, right? So predicted click value is taking all of that MTA, first party data environment, and sort of flipping it on its head from a purpose perspective to say it's, now we're not talking about this as a better measurement, but that same data actually is a great training set for an algorithm, for a machine learning model. And so what Banzai was able to deploy was a model to predict value from not just like a conversion that they're getting, but really all of the traffic they're buying from Google. So then plugging that back into Google turned out to be a really good idea. So plugging that in, you know, they saw results, and I love your analogy for how it works, but yeah.
Yeah, like first of all, Matt's so great and his team's amazing to work with. And so when he first came to me and said, hey, I think we can do this, I thought, okay, let's test it. Let's make sure we're testing it really well. And so we did. We did a match market test. So it was a very clean test. But instead of, the way I've explained it to my team is, instead of going out and saying, hey, Bob just purchased, here's Bob, go find more Bobs, which is what most people do.
Right.
We, with Banzai's help, came in and said, well, here's Bob. Bob lives in DC. Bob's been to your site 5 times already. And Bob kind of looks like Greg, and Greg is a longtime customer.
Right.
And so instead of sending thousands of pieces back to data back to Google, we're now sending hundreds of thousands, and in some months, millions of pieces of data back into Google. And that's where we got our return. And it was cheaper, and we were able to go far and wide with our non-brand that we weren't going before, because we knew where to go.
Yeah, that's great. So last thing I want to talk about here, you know, we touched on some of this already in just kind of talking through the results that Gab achieved, but can you talk a little bit about Banzai's Overstory product and, you know, just primary challenges it's meant to solve?
Yeah, for sure. So Overstory came out of, I guess, Banzai's realization that solving, say, the multi-touch story you heard and like the algorithm story that you heard is also the same framework that, you know, with other clients and other situations, we were helping with other versions of the challenge. We were doing first-party database to match market testing or doing incrementality modeling. So Russ touched like very briefly about that earlier. The thing that maybe we were like, I guess I run Banzai, I should maybe have thought of this sooner, but it was sort of this idea of like, oh, actually, this is just all the same. We should just do this all within the same environment. Like this is, the first party strategy is its own, like it's the sort of the foundation of the house. But this data set is both the measurement attribution, it's also the modeling backend, it's also the testing backend, right? And so Overstory is just about like acknowledging that like, yeah, like why can't you just work with us? We can help you onboard the first party data, like platform strategy, like all at once. And then if you need MTA, or if you need media mix modeling, or if you need testing and, you know, test and control, you can just get like the mix that matters to you. And by the way, every business will need some slight different combination, right? So that's a little bit about how it came to be. You know, this year we're really proud about, we're going to be, you know, launching it through our UI and like all this other stuff. But like, I mean, to me, that's almost secondary. Like the sort of idea, the fundamental idea is that like we think of Overstory as like being able to see across all of this, across everything that you need to understand.
Well, and so I know we talked a little bit about, you know, Gab's starting point as far as data goes. But, you know, let's say, you know, somebody listening here wants to implement something like Overstory. Like, what do they need in place to get started? What should they be thinking about? I mean, obviously, first-party data, top of mind to everybody right now, but there's still a lot of reliance on third-party, even though one of these days Google's going to, you know, deprecate third-party cookies and all that stuff. So, you know, what should a brand be getting in order so that they can use something like Overstory?
I think you would give a great example of what it, like, looked like for Gab, just to, like, clarify for everyone in, like, a real-life world. But I would say, like, you do need to be measuring customer behavior, and most people are. They have analytics. You probably have a system of record. Honestly, after that, we can take it from here. But I would say, like, that's, like, to me, like, those are the table stakes. But, yeah, I mean.
So it doesn't take a whole lot of, yeah.
No. And, in fact, I mean, when we first started working with Banzai, we're not a huge, massive company. We've grown a lot, and I'm super proud of how many kids we were able to protect. But at the same time, we were really, you know, small. So it's. I was amazed, and I know that Overstory, as I've seen it, because we did it all, you know, manually. Yeah. The Overstory sounds like an amazing thing for all of the future clients. So congratulations.
Somebody's got to be
first. It's really cool. Yeah, no, it's cool. I'm happy. But even doing it manually, it was. Hey, we just need to connect these handful of data sources, and within a few short weeks, we had some views and be able to see what's happening from a multi-touch standpoint. And then I'll be honest, that was really what I hoped. What Matt is talking about with now your data is in one place, you now can do this predictive click value modeling. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And my person who, Ashley, she's so amazing, so awesome, who does our search. She was like, I've literally dreamed of doing this in search my whole career. Like, this is so cool that we have this data. But then, you know, after we got done with predictive click value, I went back to Matt and I was like, Matt, we need to tell our story. Like, more people need to understand what's going on and how tech is hurting kids and whether there is a solution. And TV and YouTube, all these impression-based, this media, we need to measure it better. And he came back and he said, we have all your data. We could do an incrementality model every month and do a 6-month look back. And that has changed the game, because now we can get pretty solid signals on what's happening in YouTube. YouTube was our most effective acquisition channel during holiday, which I've never been able to measure that. I've never been able to have full confidence that was the case. And it makes sense for us. We have a story to tell, and YouTube was really an amazing place to do it. And now that we have this monthly incrementality model, I'm used to MMMs 6 months later, and then we look back and go, cool, so we were doing okay 6 months ago? All right, and I don't really know totally what to do tomorrow, but 6 months ago, looks like that was okay.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing is, you know, we're talking about, like, a lot of brands are getting stuck at, you know, multi-touch attribution. You know, I've been talking about this for a year. We've all been talking about this for years. It's like other, you know, it's like one-to-one omni-channel. You know, there's these things that everyone's talking about, and yet I think a lot of brands just say, well, that sounds good, but we're not quite there yet. So, you know, it's heartening to know that, you know, you don't have to have some major, like, overhaul and all that stuff to be able to get started on it.
So, no, yeah. and it's frankly, it's just really nice as a marketer to be able to look at the rest of the executive team in the eyes and say, I know where to go.
Yeah.
I know what to do. We've got this. You guys are creating an amazing product. Keep it up. Operations, you're killing it. Like, you're awesome. Keep doing that. We got your back. Let's go. Let's go protect more kids. And that confidence is really, really, really empowering. And so, you know, to go from disparate data sources and platform third-party data to first-party multi-touch, and then increase our what we're doing at the bottom of the funnel with search in such an amazing way, and then be able to measure incrementality and what we're doing over the top with impressions within a year, is, I didn't think that it was that it was possible. So it's super cool, Greg.
I just wanted to add that, I mean, it's gotta be, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about not just what we do, but like I would say like how to tackle this problem broadly for like any brand, right, or retailer. And I hear a lot like, oh, it sounds kind of cool what Banzai's doing. You know, we're not sophisticated enough yet, but like I would love to, you know, and I'm always like, what you don't understand is that this is the fundamentals. Like not being sophisticated is the perfect time. That's actually the ideal fit for getting into this, right? Like if you were sophisticated, like if you had solved all this stuff, like awesome, right? You probably don't need to call me, right? Like, but like, so, you know, I think that's something that we're excited about, like helping people like think through and like hopefully like solve for is like, you don't have to have all of this, you know, incredible prep, tech, money, team, like this is a solution that you can tackle today.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Well, I love what both of your companies are doing and in different ways, of course, but like it's exciting stuff. So Matt and Russ, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. We're about halfway through e-tail here in Palm Springs, but what's a takeaway each of you have gotten from the show so far?
I was told by my team that, you know, one of the keynotes Monday, Ryan, he did a great job. Like, again, we're getting back to like really sophisticated kind of like bleeding edge companies, and they'd done a great job leveraging first party strategy, and my team all had the same feedback to me. They're like, that guy tells the greatest story. Like, Matt, why don't you listen to that guy? You know? And so I was like, I was really heartened to hear, first of all, like, it's awesome. There's so many great, like talented brands and marketers and folks. So I'm learning a lot, but it was just super heartening for me to hear that like this, I think is coming out of the, I wanna say the shadows, but like the kind of mystery of like alchemy and data science and coming to like the real world is awesome. I love it.
Nice.
I don't mean to sound boring, Greg, but that's, for me, that's what's been on my mind is data and how this is possible. And I think that there's so many smart people here, way smarter than me, who are at this conference. And a lot of them, you know, they talk about this idea that we've been discussing today as hey, this, you got to do this. This is so important. And frankly, then to hear like other people saying like, yeah, like we're doing it too. And look how it's doing. It looks like it's something helping us. And I'm like, yes, we're in this cool place that, I don't know, we've been talking about big data. I mean, go through all of the things that we've been talking about for so many years, and now
like
I feel like
20 years or something.
Yes, and Greg, like I feel like we're there. Like we can do it. And so it's cool that you and your podcast is great, Greg. And
thanks.
To be able to tell our story and hopefully help another marketer feel like they can have more confidence going to their other peers on the executive team and saying, hey, like, I got you. Like, we know where we need to go, and let's go do it.
Great, wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Matt Butler and Russ Hannig for joining the show. You can learn more about Matt and Banzai, as well as Russ and Gab, by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkihlstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kihlstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.